Roberta, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. So this review was commissioned by Planning Minister Rob Stokes. Could you first tell us what are some of the key findings you feel he and therefore we should be taking away from this report?
Yeah, look, I think the key issue that the report seeks to address is that we have a problem with the kind of housing stock that's coming through. We need more what we broadly call a missing middle or smaller houses on smaller lots. So we're looking at trying to find ways to address the need that we know exists for smaller dwellings. So the report, we were asked to look at this issue for the minister and try and figure out what's getting in the way of being able to deliver this kind of housing stock. And we came across a few issues. I mean, we identified that there's really all the key players want to find a way to deliver this housing diversity, and certainly the minister's keen to see this happen. But what we're finding is that the timing for the implementation of this code was not something that was really working for councils. So councils are doing a lot of what we call local strategic planning at the moment, and what's involved in that is doing a lot of work with local communities to identify all of the kind of big picture issues that are going to affect how those communities are going to look in the future. And as part of that, they're going to be looking not just at how to supply enough housing, but to how to supply enough housing that's of this kind of diverse housing stock. So our recommendation in the report was to say, let that process happen, help councils with getting having a close look at what's going on in local communities, and then the code should switch on, in our view, at the 1st of July, which is just part of the timing around councils getting all this local strategic planning done.
The report warns that developments may threaten the local character of suburbs. How exactly might we see that sort of come under threat?
What councils are concerned about, and we hear from some members of the community, is that what the code does is it allows for different kinds of housing, so terraces, dual occupancies, duplexes, so in other words, two-storey housing to be to be developed in what we call the middle band suburbs, so inner ring suburbs. So the code applies across New South Wales, but the concern that we're hearing is that in the middle band suburbs particularly, communities are concerned about what they call local character. So local character can mean lots of things, but the concern is that in traditional low-rise suburbs that are dominated by single-dwelling houses, you know, regular suburban suburbs that we see a lot of in Sydney, that if the code applies, the concern is that this kind of housing might affect local character because of the nature of the controls in the code. So the concern from many of the councils who haven't yet turned on the code or allowed the code to apply in their local government areas is that they want to spend time identifying particular parts of their LGA. Wouldn't be the whole LGA, wouldn't be every part of where this kind of medium density stock's allowable, but to identify areas of what you might call special character. So that's not heritage areas, but it's areas that might have particular frontages or particular planting or, you know, heritage hedges or those kinds of things. There's a lot of things that we communities think of as particular local character in their local government areas or in their suburbs. And so the councils were concerned that they needed time to identify those areas where that special character would apply and make sure that the code could work in that context. So that was what the timing issue was about. But I guess the real issue is that we really have a shortage of this kind of diverse housing in Sydney. And it's really important that we make available this kind of housing diversity because at the moment, most of the stock that's coming online in Sydney is apartment stock. So, you know, taking 2018, for example, there are about 31,000 completed apartments in Sydney, and at the moment, about 50% of new homes that are being provided are high-rise. And so, and fewer than 14% of housing stock is this more diverse kind of housing stock. So what we're seeing is an urban development pattern in Sydney, where we've got low-rise single-dwelling housing areas and then an increase in density with apartments. And what we really need to do is get more diverse housing stock available, and that's what the code's trying to do.
You can certainly see that in terms of just simple supply and demand from a layperson perspective. You know, I know a lot of people that are looking for perhaps to buy a house, buy into a property, and there's obviously a great deal more apartments going than these more diverse ones that you talk about, the people that might want to move into a place on the ground with perhaps a little bit of a yard or something like that. Look, in terms of other concerns that have floated around the market right now and property developers right now, we've seen a lot of apartments going up and then developing some of these issues, big cracks in the foundations and the walls and all that sort of thing, driving people out of their homes. I know in the United States, in terms of medium density housing, and I'm no expert on this topic, but I know in the United States they've seen a great deal of concerns with developers of medium density housing doing some things that have ended up with similar structural issues. Has that come up at all in the report in terms of giving property developers this kind of control over big swaths of area and the way they're turning these things out?
Look, it does come up. What this planning code is aiming to do is really something that, particularly in what you call infill areas, in areas that are, you know, have existing housing in it, rather than developing new areas or greenfield sites, this code is in part about the kind of ordinary person, the mum and dad developer or the mum and dad homeowner who want to perhaps put a semi on their block of land where they've got a single dwelling house, or to, you know, put an upstairs on so they can have their kids living downstairs, and perhaps being able to make that into a dual occupancy. So a lot of this kind of housing in the infill area is going to be developed by you know, mid-range developers or ordinary folks who want to, as their lifestyles change, or they want to make housing available for members of their family. So, I mean, what we're seeing in the demographics, of course, is not just older populations, but the sort of thing you're talking about, Sean, where we've got a really big increase of families with children who are, not everyone can afford a single dwelling house on a quarter acre block, and people's lifestyles are changing, and so they're looking for, there's quite a lot of pent up demand for this kind of smaller houses on smaller lots, in terms of, you know, people don't want to spend all weekends mowing the lawn and all that kind of stuff, and there are sustainability reasons too for smaller dwellings. But the role of developers in this space is much less clear, in terms of, you know, this kind of housing is most likely, and what we're seeing in the places it is happening, is done by, you know, single house builders or builders who do, you know, two or three houses in a row, and the code allows for that kind of development. So the part of, I think, what I mean, contributing to the demand besides the shortage and the demographics, I think, is concern that we are certainly reading a lot about in the newspaper in terms of the potential quality issues that we're seeing with high-rise development. So I think that's contributing to the demand for this kind of housing stock as well.
Well, I must say, I am intrigued. I will be watching this one myself, if only for selfish reasons. And I think it will be quite interesting going into 2020, as you mentioned there, June, July 2020. Roberta, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
It's a great pleasure.